From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
There are a lot of ideas being proposed in the General Assembly right now as trying to get a balanced budget along with structural changes. I think it's premature for me to comment on any specific types of proposals yet. I think things are very fluid, they're evolving. Some ideas are going somewhere, some aren't. I'm going to let the process kind of organically grow on its own. I've encouraged them. I think it's great that the senators just talk to the senators and see if they can get a deal done. That's awesome. I mean, that's great. I don't think outside interference is necessarily a good thing. I think we just let them try to do the best they can and come up with their ideas, and we'll see where we go.
That's Governor Bruce Rauner this week. He says he doesn't want to upset the apple cart when it comes to a possible state budget agreement that's being hammered out in the Illinois Senate. But that plan is far from a done deal. We're going to talk about that. Also, Rod Blagojevich does not get the late Christmas gift he was hoping for from President Barack Obama before he left office. We'll discuss all of that and more today on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford. Joining me in studio, Charlie Wheeler. He's director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Also with us is Matt Dietrich. He's editor of Reboot Illinois. And joining us from Chicago, Tony Arnold, Illinois politics reporter for WBEZ. Matt and Tony, good to have you back on again.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks.
Matt, I'm going to start with you. The governor's budget office came out with an analysis of that, of what's been called a Senate deal, or at least being worked on to be a deal of taxes and spending. Does it help the situation, what came out this week?
Well, the governor's office is saying now that it's out of balance, that we're still going to be running a deficit. And I'm not sure that necessarily surprises anyone. I don't think that anyone expects Illinois to right its ship in 1 year. To me, the important thing about the whole process over the past week has been, number one, that actually there was some discussion and negotiation, because for the 18 months previous, we had had no discussion whatsoever on either side. It was just a standoff. And the other thing is that the governor himself has seemed to go out of his way to be cooperative on this and to not be overly negative. And even when the report came out this week, it was not presented as this budget is not the same way, for example, that we heard when Speaker Madigan presented his budget back in May, that was billions of dollars out of balance, and they just completely blew it up and made it into made it as part of their campaign against the speaker. Haven't seen any of that. I didn't expect confetti to be tossed and for everyone to dive right in, and there's still such a long way to go on this entire package of, I think, 13 bills. But I do think that there is some reason for at least encouragement that they're talking now.
Can anybody put a balanced budget together? Governor was not able to do it. The House Democrats and other Democrats, they were not able to do that. Charlie, you weren't surprised, I guess, in these numbers either, and you took a different view maybe than some people did.
Well, I tend to agree with Matt. The notion that, yeah, we'll put together some plan that at the end of the day, 18 months from now, we'll be in the black, I think is unrealistic. You could do it with the arithmetic, but the consequences would be horrible. You could double the income tax rate, and yeah, we'd be in the black. Nobody's going to do that. Or you could say, well, this year we're not going to fund in public schools at all, and you'd be in the black. But you're not going to do that. The depths of the problem are such that you have to look at a multi-year approach. And as a matter of fact, as Chris Mooney said a week ago on this show, his folks over at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, his number crunchers, have said you have to make cuts, you have to raise revenues, and you have to stick to this plan for at least a decade to get the state back on the right track. So to me, I'm optimistic by the governor's report, in that following the mathematics in that report, we will actually reduce the red ink by $2 billion and put us in shape where in another year or two we'd be once again in the black. And also, as Matt said, the fact that Senate President John Cullerton, Senate Minority Leader Christine Rodonio, stood there at a podium side by side and said, here is a framework that we in the Senate are working on and that we are presenting to the governor and to the House for their consideration. So it's an important step forward because Senator Cowdern is committed to some of the things the governor wants, maybe not exactly the way Bruce Rauner would wish it, but workers' compensation is part of that 13-bill package, so is a property tax freeze. And on the other hand, you have the Senate Republican leader standing up there and saying, yes, we are increasing the income tax rate, and we're also proposing a tax on sugared drinks. So that, to me, is progress.
And, Tony, that seems to be the real key, is that compromise, but also that bipartisanship, especially when you're talking about taxes. No one party really usually wants to stand out there and say, we raised your taxes, the other party didn't do it.
Yeah, and it sounds like that is going to be a key to getting this passed in just at least the Senate. Both parties are saying we'll put a certain number of votes on this to make sure that this is not just Democrats or not just Republicans bearing the brunt of the politics, the political consequences that will come of this. The other thing I guess I'd just say is you're seeing that the budget office from the governor's administration is proposing projecting a out of balance a deficit of this overall Senate package. I don't have a good feel, though, for some of what the governor, the whole point of why this is happening and where we are is that Governor Rauner, since he's taken office, has said, you know, think more than just a budget. Think about the economic conditions that Illinois has. And so that's where the workers' compensation comes from, to lure more companies to Illinois. That's where the property tax freeze comes in. It's a related topic to bring more employers in, create more jobs. You broaden the number of people who are paying these taxes, and that's where the growth comes in. I don't have a good sense from this report about how this would, I guess, in Rauner's terms, allow him to bring in those companies and let that growth happen. So while a deficit is being projected for the short term, in theory, this whole idea is that more companies would want to like scoop up their stuff and come right to Illinois pretty quickly. And I think that to Matt and Charlie's points, I don't know how you get a balanced budget, especially if you're just thinking about how Rauner's been addressing this. And I don't know how you get that balanced budget in 6 months to 18 months without letting, you know, without the right terms for Rauner to do what he's saying. So I haven't seen that number from Rauner about how much money that would actually come in if those businesses did all of a sudden up and come here with the right economic conditions. And that's kind of like a big hole that I have that I'm curious to see more about is just how much can the administration bring in from these companies if the economic conditions were right?
Well, and I think, Tony, and along those lines, you know, workers' compensation reform has been a big part of – it was in Rauner's campaign. It was a big part of the last 18 months' debate over the need to the governor's need and a lot of Republicans. And, of course, the business interests say that Illinois needs a workers' compensation system that isn't – they say that our workers' compensation system is too heavily weighted toward injured workers – and it makes employers pay exorbitant insurance rates because they have to pay for injuries that aren't really caused by work. Now, this workers' compensation bill that's part of the Senate agreed package does not have anything that the governor has been pushing for with workers' compensation. So, again, I think you're right, Tony. When the governor comes out and says, I've talked to so many companies, they say, I'd love to come to Illinois, but your regulatory climate is just too much for us and we can't do it. I'm not sure that the workers' compensation part of this bill is going to make anybody happy. In fact, 2 days before they introduced this package, I sat in a House committee hearing on another workers' compensation bill from the previous General Assembly, and it was just as full of of hostility and anger as as that debate has ever been. So I would foresee that there is probably going to be some negotiation on this kind of stuff. But you're right. I don't see where this pushes the reform agenda where the governor has said that it needs to go.
And Charlie, there are a lot of big key issues here. I mean, we're talking about a framework for a budget, but we're not talking about anything that's set in stone yet. In fact, there's been some reports that this sugary drink tax might actually be pulled out of this plan. That would create another hole, of course, for revenue if that wasn't in there. These are all some big ideas that are being thrown together. That seems to me like this is going to slow this thing down. If people think that this thing is going to become law in a week or something, I just don't think they've got the time to get that done. Too many big issues.
Oh, yeah. And there are a lot of moving parts. But as I said earlier, to me, the significance is not in the details of the thousands and thousands of pages of introduced bills. The significance is the commitment on behalf of Senator Cullerton and Senator Redonio to put forward such a framework and to endorse, at least in principle, concepts that for each party on their side of the aisle have been anathema for a long time. And, yeah, we don't really see how this is going to move the needle, to use the cliché, on improving our economic climate, but I don't recall ever seeing a detailed analysis of the ideas that Governor Rauner proposed initially on, in terms of dollars and cents, here's what this would generate in terms of economic activity. I mean, there was one PowerPoint presentation, but there was nothing that would allow you to really dive in and see, oh, if we reduce workers' comp rates by X, that will create this many new jobs. So I think that's part of the equation that's missing. And I think another thing about workers' compensation, the point that the Democrats have made is that we made changes a few years ago. We didn't go as far as the business community went, but the costs have gone down. The state agency that follows this stuff, the Workers' Compensation Commission, put out a report saying that costs in Illinois have gone down. Business community says, hey, we don't see the savings. The suspicion is, on the part of the Democrats and organized labor, that the insurance companies are pocketing the difference. One of the things the Democrats have asked for is tighter scrutiny over the insurers to make sure that if there are cost savings, they're reflected in the premiums that manufacturers and other industrialists and other employers, including the state itself, have to pay.
Yeah, and the insurance industry says, hey, we're making 2% profit on selling workers' compensation insurance in Illinois, and there's, 300 companies that are involved in the market. It's a competitive market. And that was one of the issues that in the committee hearing I was at where it really blew up, and it always does, and that's why this is such a tricky issue. And again, Charlie, like you said, there's no cause and effect here. Okay, so you change the standard to make it harder for a worker. You make them have to prove that their injury was mostly caused by work. There's no guarantee that that's going to bring your insurance premiums down either. And, you know, Charlie, like you said, insurance premiums are going down. They've gone down consistently since those reforms, but they're not going down very fast.
Yeah, and another thing I think is important to remember about this, people will complain that our costs are higher than, say, Indiana's. One of the factors that goes into figuring out compensation for an injured worker is what the salaries are in the state. And we have a higher median household income in Illinois than our neighboring states. So I don't think it's quite fair to compare ourselves to Indiana when our workers are better off in terms of their salaries.
Right. They make more.
Mm-hmm. I just think that, to Charlie's point earlier, though, was about how this, about this overall package and how it passes. You know, I've heard Cullerton and Redonio say a few different times now that this is about the Senate and making sure that the Senate has the votes to show that there's cooperation and negotiations that can actually achieve something. We aren't the House and we aren't the governor, but this is what the Senate can do. And I think that this report and what we're seeing here shows that this might advance, some parts of it might advance in the Senate, but overall there's still this other side of things about bringing in Rauner and Madigan, which are really has been the root of the sticking point, is those two sides for the last 2 years. And so this might be symbolic in a way of showing that there is room for cooperation among these two powerful people in Springfield, Cullerton and Redonio. But once it gets outside of that room, there's all of these other political factors that come into play here. There's still this urgency in that there's no budget right now. Well, universities and social services aren't getting paid, but this still has to, you know, there still has to be room for Madigan and Rauner to address this in some sort of other way.
And Tony, I think that brings up an interesting point and something I thought about. Well, you can applaud the senators for saying, let's all get together and let's maybe vote on something. If they vote on something like a sugary drink tax, for example, and that doesn't become part of a final package, suddenly all these members are voting for raising taxes on soda and things like that. And those are things that could really hurt them possibly politically down the road. It doesn't seem like it's the best political move, I guess.
Well, it's, you know, somebody had to take a step at some point. And on Tony's point, go back, it was last week during the swearing-in when Mike Madigan gave his speech. You know, Bruce Rauner was very careful to be positive about this. Madigan, his first chance at the microphone, he laid out his own tax plan, quite a bit different. He indicated pretty strongly that he is not about to back down on workers' compensation reform. So there's going to be a lot of friction in whatever form these bills make it to the House. Now, if you want to talk about how this politically might play out as a chess match, what seems to be shaping up is it looks like the governor is trying to box Madigan in. They've already got this massive multi-million-dollar BossMadigan.com campaign where they're trying to vilify Madigan at every step of the way. Kind of looks like in the context of these budget talks, they're trying to portray Madigan as the lone obstructionist here, that, you know, finally we might have a budget after 2 years. Oh, but Speaker Madigan's going to throw the whole thing off the rails.
And Charlie, you wrote about that this week. I thought I'd give you a chance to talk just briefly about that. But also, does that, what Matt was saying, does that play into their hands, the Republicans' hands, if Madigan does become an obstructionist on this deal?
Well, that's certainly what the message is that Rauner and his minions are trying to put out. And if I were the governor, and thankfully I'm not, and I needed to cut some kind of a deal with Matt, I wouldn't be spending millions of dollars to vilify Matt and to try and portray him as I've said before, the Darth Vader of Illinois, when I have to work with him. I may hate his guts, but if I have to work with him, it makes more sense to be cooperative. So I think, for me, a positive step would be for the Rauner apparatus to stop campaigning and to start focusing, as I've said before, on governing. How do we get a deal? Let's forget about the next election for the moment, because if we go 4 years without a budget, Rauner may be running for re-election blaming Madigan, but I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of blowback from the Democrats and from Illinois citizens. Hey, Governor, you were the chief executive for 4 years, and you couldn't get done what your predecessors for 198 years did get done.
Go ahead, Tony.
I'd just say that I think, you know, to your question, Sean, about the attacks that could come, the political attacks that could come from voting for this, for, let's say, a soda tax. I think that's the point, though. I think that's the point in running this up the flagpole and actually putting the members' votes on this, is to show that there are people here who can weather a storm of mailers and ads that say that, you know, Senator so-and-so is in line with, I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but, you know, likes the Michael Bloomberg style of controlling what you should eat mm-hmm. or drink, and they want you to pay more for your Pepsi than you did, and because of Illinois' mismanagement. That's, I suppose, the attack that would be coming. And I think the point is to show that, go ahead and do that. We have to do something, though, because what the last 2 years have done is because right now universities aren't getting any money, or because social services aren't getting any money. And I think that's just why we're seeing this come out of one chamber in this way at this point.
Well, and to me, the safety in voting for these taxes in a bipartisan fashion is it's really hard for me to criticize Sean, my opponent, for voting for a tax when my party leader supported the tax as well. And if you go back historically and look at all the votes on the income tax from day one, from 1969, when Governor Ogilvie and Mayor Richard J. Daley put together the deal, all the way through the increases in the 80s and the keeping it where it was in the 90s, the people who voted yes got reelected the next time out at a higher percentage than the people who voted no. And you might think that's counterintuitive. But the reason is those were structured roll calls, as was mentioned earlier. So we decided the leadership would say, okay, Matt, you're in a tough district. You get to vote no. Sean, you're in a safe district. You're going to vote yes. I'm the leader. I'll vote yes. And that kind of arrangement insulated people who were in marginal districts in terms of their electoral strength. And it also insulated them from the totally partisan attack, because it's hard to attack your opponent for doing something that your own leader endorsed.
I'm sure Charlie would attack me if he could, though. I'm sure that's Matt, I want to move on here, but just quickly, if you could, we've talked about the taxes and such. You've been looking at some of the spending out of this proposal, at least the rough idea for it. Higher ed, for example.
Yeah, I took a look at Senate Bill 6 is the one that contains their spending plan. And we've had, you know, a lot of talk over the last 18 months about the effect that the budget crisis has had on the state's 9 public universities. So I took a look at what the funding for the 9 universities in the current Senate bill, what they're trying to do is restore in the current fiscal year 17, they want to add an amount that would make it equivalent to what the universities got in fiscal year 2015, okay, which is all well and good, except that in 2016, when there was no budget, you saw universities typically taking about a 70% cut. So what you end up with, if this bill passed as it's written right now, you would end up with the universities taking hits of about 35% over the 2-year span. Now, this is interesting because 2 years ago in Governor Rauner's first budget address, when he introduced what was supposed to be his idea for the fiscal year 2016 budget, he was proposing a 20% cut for higher education funding. And included in that was 30% cuts for all of the universities. And boy, you heard howling back then of protest of that 30%. And now we're looking at, you know, we're sitting here talking like this is hopeful. And the net effect would be a 35% decrease for most of the universities. So that 30% 2 years ago now looks pretty good.
And before time gets away from us, I do want to mention Rod Blagojevich. He's in his fourth year of a 14-year prison term. He was sort of hoping Barack Obama would grant some clemency before he left office. Tony, that did not happen. I guess we really shouldn't be too surprised by that.
Yeah, the president doesn't comment specifically on these applications for clemency or pardons or whatever this would be called, but it didn't come through despite the campaign that Blagojevich's family put forth to say this is kind of their last-ditch effort to get his sentence reduced. But I think the thing that's almost stuck out to me, as much as Obama not taking action on Blagojevich's sentencing of 14 years, it's the people who have said this week, as this has kind of been percolating, that 14 years seems like a lot of time. I've seen comments from Senator Dick Durbin and a couple of lawmakers too on Facebook as this is kind of circulating.
Well, Barry Bonds
come up saying 14 years. That seems like a long time, and that wasn't really talked about at the time that the sentence came down. So it's almost like time has had a change of heart for some people from a few years ago.
Well, Barry Bonds, there's more people now considering him for the Hall of Fame in baseball, people like that. So you're seeing more of that. Time does heal some wounds. Well, this is a big wound, though.
And there is one person who has said that Rod Blagojevich got a raw deal. That was his words. And that is our now President Trump,
who had some goings on with Rod Blagojevich later after Rod left office. On The Apprentice. Celebrity Apprentice.
Still hope.
So, Charlie, you weren't surprised by this either. I mean,
no, I thought it would have been very unlikely that President Obama would have given any kind of break to Blagojevich when one of the most sensational charges against Blagojevich was that he actively tried to sell the U.S. Senate seat that Obama was vacating to become president.
Before we move off this topic too, Tony, Patty Blagojevich has been pretty public about her husband, about their plight. And she, I think, of course, said she's very disappointed that this didn't go their way either.
Yeah, and she was the one who was she's been the center of this whole campaign to get Blagojevich's sentence reduced. I even got some flyers hand-delivered to the office this week from people who stood by Blagojevich all during his trial, saying that they were going to have a ribbon placement outside of his house. He's had his people who have been loyal to him throughout the years, defending him throughout everything that's been going on. And I don't know what other legal moves are left at this point, other than trying to lobby now President Donald Trump to maybe reduce that sentence. I don't know what other moves they have left in the court system otherwise.
All right.
Without filling that full sentence.
We're going now to our notes from the field, and Charlie, we'll start with you.
Well, we talked about higher education and the funding. The Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois adopted a plan this week to try and increase enrollment at the school by 15% at all three campuses over the next several years. And they also froze tuition for incoming freshmen as part of this notion to attract more students. Because as we've seen, enrollments at Illinois colleges and universities have gone down because of the uncertainty of funding.
Matt?
So ever since he's come into office, and even when he was campaigning, we heard a lot from Bruce Rauner about a turnaround agenda. And this week, the governor did a turnaround of his own regarding Chicago State University. It was 1 year ago, almost to the day, that in a press conference, when he was asked about Chicago State, Rauner pretty much erupted and said it's a failed institution and maybe we ought to pull all of its funding and give it to the students and let them go somewhere else. This week, the governor held a press conference in which he introduced four new trustees, including Paul Vallis, to turn around Chicago State University. He appointed an advisory board, and he spoke in very positive and conciliatory tones about Chicago State and getting it back to what he thinks it should be. So I thought that was a remarkable turnaround, and he deserved a bit of credit for that.
And Tony Arnold.
I just say that the Democratic primary race for governor in 2018 is on. The one declared candidate, Chicago Alderman Amaya Pawar, was in the Quad Cities, I believe, this week to lobby union members there. And earlier this week at the Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast event, that's a big event put on by Rainbow Push and Jesse Jackson's group, you had potential candidates, J.B. Pritzker, Chris Kennedy of the famous Kennedy family, and former governor Pat Quinn. They were all there shaking hands and doing what any other candidates who might be pursuing this option would be doing.
All right, that will wrap up today's broadcast. Members today of our broadcast include Charlie Wheeler, Matt Dietrich, and Tony Arnold. You can get a podcast of this show at nprillinois.org and also find us on NPR One. Look for State Week. The production assistance for the program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.